Welcome to Soul Talk, soulful conversations exploring who you are, why you're here, and how to live your most authentic life. My name is Coop Blackson, nationally bestselling author of You Are the One, transformational teacher, and your host. I invite you to subscribe to the Soul Talk podcast for weekly inspiration from me, where I will share with you some powerful ideas, thoughts, and practical life wisdom to help you live life more fully, freeing yourself from your past, reclaiming your power, and living your true life's purpose. You can also go to www.coopblackson.com, enter your name and email to download my free 2-part video training series and learn the ultimate secrets to happiness and fulfillment. Let's get started with Soul Talk. The 8 stages of spiritual awakening. This is the subject of today's topic, and I'm really looking forward to diving into our episode today and adding as much value as we dissect the 8 stages of the spiritual path. Before we dive into today's special episode, I just wanted to let you all know. Some of you know about it, some of you have attended, some of you have heard about it, some of you are thinking about it. But this July, July the 20th through the 31st, I'm doing a truly life-changing transformational event in Bali. It's called Boundless Bliss, the Bali Breakthrough Experience. If you're in a moment of your life where you're ready for a breakthrough, you're ready for your next level, you know that you have been put on the planet for a purpose that is bigger than yourself. You know that you have been called to impact humanity in a big and profound way. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired of repeating the same patterns and lessons. Maybe you've achieved a great level of success. You've attained material success, but you're still left with a feeling of emptiness, and you're ready to heal the patterns and layers of your conditioning, transform for real, connect to your authentic power, your voice, and share your gifts with the world. Join me this July, the 20th through the 31st, for what will be a truly life-changing 12 days. Some of you may have been thinking about it for a while. Some of you have perhaps felt the calling, you felt the pull, but you haven't committed. Here's what I want you to do. Go to the website, www.boundlessblissbali.com. That's boundlessblissbali.com. Watch the video and apply. I promise you this, fortune favors the bold. And the moment you apply, that's when your journey will begin. So folks, today's episode, let's dive in. The 8 stages of spiritual awakening. The stages of the spiritual path. Is there a map to the spiritual journey? And what if there was a map to the spiritual journey, a roadmap that could outline some of the stages that we go through on the path to awakening? The journey of awakening isn't always clear and isn't always easy. But what I really believe is we're all born awake. We are all born already awakened. The first stage you could say is awakened. The first stage as a child is born, as a child incarnates into this human experience, they're still very much in touch with the divine. They're in touch with their own true nature. They are not conditioned. They are not traumatized. They are not hurt. They're still very much connected to the infinite dimension of their being. This is why I feel as though when you look into a child's eyes, a newborn's eyes, a baby's eyes, when I look into my very young baby boy's eyes, you see the pure essence. You see the pure light of consciousness. You can feel God. You can feel the divine in these babies when they're born. And so our true nature really is that we are already awakened. So let's say that the goal of spiritual practice and the goal of the spiritual path is not to become enlightened, to become awakened, because you're already that. You cannot become what you already are. If anything, the goal of the process of the spiritual path, why do we do yoga? Why do we do meditation? Why do we do therapy? Why do we do all of these journeys? Why do we travel to vortex spots? Why do we do the inner healing work? It's not to become something. It's not to attain something. You can't become what you already are. You're already awakened. So the goal is, shall we say, to remove some of the cobwebs, remove the dust, remove the dirt, remove the layers, remove the blockages, remove the illusions, so that you can remember, who you have always been all along, so that you can see more clearly the truth of who you are and have always been. So you're not becoming that. You've always been that. You just forgot. We just forgot. This is the process of life. And so the first stage is we incarnate and we are all already awakened. We're all already that. We're all already in touch with the divinity. We're born free, whole, perfect, free, complete. And so the next stage is as we enter into life, as we meet our parents, and God bless our parents. Our parents are just doing the best that they know how to do based on their conditioning, based on their parents, based on society, based on media, based on everything around them. And so as we meet our parents, they're conditioned with their own pain and hurt and traumas. And so they're just doing the best that they can do to raise us. But often they project onto us, and many times they inflict pain, and maybe there's dysfunction in the family system and the household, and dad is crazy, mom is an alcoholic, one parent is not around, maybe there's abuse, maybe there's trauma, maybe they were great people, but they just didn't know how to meet our emotional needs in some way. And so slowly, the conditioning process begins. And layer by layer by layer, we start learning all sorts of strategies to shut down, disconnect, not feel. Shut down, disconnect, not feel, because it's too painful to be so connected and sensitive and attuned as a young baby boy, as a young baby girl. And so rather than feel everything so deeply, we shut down, disconnect, not feel. We suppress, we suppress, we suppress, we suppress, we suppress, we suppress. Layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of unprocessed, unfelt emotion and feeling begins to cover up our light, begins to cover up our true nature, begins to cover up the love that we are. And so slowly we begin the process of forgetting who we are. We begin the process of losing touch with the light that we are. We begin the process of losing connection to the awakened dimension of our being. But it's always there. It's just now covered or buried underneath layers of conditioning. We also start learning as children all sorts of strategies to become who we think we need to be to get love, validation, and approval. We develop a role, we develop a mask, we develop a persona in order to get love and validation and approval from those in our lives. So again, we avoid pain, we develop a role, a mask, a persona. Again, all of this starts covering up our essential nature. What I want to make clear is that our true nature is always there. Our true nature as pure light, as infinite consciousness, is always the case. It's always there. But now we start going to sleep. And sadly, the world, the matrix, starts putting us to sleep. It starts with our parents. They start through their own limited consciousness and conditioned nature, start putting us to sleep, instilling certain limited belief systems. You can't do this, you can't do that. Think this way, don't think that way. Then we go to school, and school, the education system, starts slowly numbing us and programming us, putting us to sleep, putting us to sleep, putting us to sleep. Certain painful experiences happen, right? Abuse, pain, hurt, that we then find all sorts of ways to avoid, and we go unconscious and we start again going to sleep. Many times religion, sadly, in its limited nature, starts to condition us and brainwash us to disconnect from our own divinity, looking for some divine connection out there in a God in the sky or in the world. And slowly we lose connection to the divine within us, our true nature, the kingdom of heaven within. And slowly we start going to sleep. Food, the food that we eat, the fast foods, the Big Macs, the over-processed foods and sugars start to dull our senses. The fluoride in your water, all of these things start to slowly dull our sensitivity and our ability to feel, to attune, to sense, to feel the innate connection inside. And now we start becoming unconscious. And we begin to forget who we are. And we begin to become brainwashed to believe that we are simply this limited mind-body mechanism. And media, the news, starts to also brainwash us to go into a Coca-Cola. We become unconscious. We're told that we're just this body. We're told, you're not enough. You're not enough. You're not enough. We look at advertising. You're not enough. But if you just wear this lingerie, if you just drive this car, if you just wear this watch, if you just buy this house, if you just wear these clothes, then you will be enough. And we start getting brainwashed into believing that we are simply this limited mind-body mechanism, this person, this separate sense of self. And now we've start feeling disconnected from our true nature. So we become unconscious. From this sense of being unconscious, we start thinking that love is outside of ourselves. We start thinking that other people and other things are the source of our loving. We start thinking that we are unworthy and not enough. And so we start seeking validation in the world, peace in the world. And the truth is, now the process of seeking starts. We start believing that happiness is an objective experience to be found in attainment of objects and situations and experiences, which then sets up a paradigm of seeking, which is a never-ending dead-end path, and trying to control the world to fit our idea of how we think it should be in order to be happy. So when we're unconscious, we don't see clearly. We are asleep. And many of us, or we've all been at some stage of our lives, sleepwalking. And much of society, sadly, is sleepwalking. That's why when Buddha was asked Buddha, right? When he was asked, are you enlightened? He simply said, no, I am awake. I am awake. And so in this unconscious state, we drink, we smoke. We betray ourselves. We chase and identify with material stuff as for a sense of who we are. We get so wrapped up and reinforced in ego that we believe that this is who we are. So that's the second phase. The next phase along the spiritual path of awakening is we begin to question. We begin to question, folks. Because usually you reach a point where maybe you've attained certain things, you've achieved certain things, you got the relationship that you wanted, you got the car that you wanted, you got the house that you wanted, you got the career that you wanted, and perhaps, or we should say, you got the thing that you thought you wanted only to realize that what you thought you wanted was not what you really wanted, it was just what you thought you wanted based on who you thought you were. And it still doesn't satisfy you. It still doesn't fulfill you. And so what starts happening now is you start feeling a sense of dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction is a sign of growth. But what we do when we feel dissatisfied is we try to numb it, to take the edge off. We smoke it away, drink it away, sex it away, just so that we don't have to feel it. But when we start feeling dissatisfied, we enter the next phase. If we allow ourselves to go to the next phase, phase three, we begin to question. We begin to question, is this it? I have the car. I have the $1 million. I have the house. I have the goal. I have the husband. I have the status. And I'm still not happy. This phase can be very disconcerting because we begin to question, what is life? Who am I? What is the purpose of life? Is it just to wake up, go to work, make babies, buy a house, have two cars, and then go on a vacation once a year and then die? Is that all there is, or is there more? Is that it? We start the process of questioning. what we believe about ourselves and who we believe ourselves to be, what we've been told, the meaning of our life, the purpose of our life. This is a very powerful, important phase. It can be a bit scary because everything that we know that we've held on to for a sense of self is up for grabs. Then what happens as you question enough, you move into the next phase, the infamous next phase, which is phase four. You move into, and as I go through these phases, I want you to see where you are at in your own evolution. You move into the next phase, which is what I call phase four, the dark night of the soul. The dark night of the soul can be a bit scary because as you start questioning yourself and life, life as you know it begins to dismantle. You as you know yourself begins to dismantle as you question your beliefs, as you question your ideologies, as you question your mental paradigms, as you question the way you see the world, as you question who you are, fundamentally the foundation of your life and how you've held yourself together begins to disassemble, begins to fall apart, begins to no longer work. The way you've done things up until now, the way you've motivated up until now, no longer works anymore. And so life, as you know it, in the dark night of the soul, begins to fall apart. You start questioning everything. You start letting go of everything that is no longer aligned, everyone that is no longer aligned. You start to free yourself. You start to look at your pain. You start to look at your shadow. You start to look at everything that you've suppressed and you haven't dealt with that is keeping you stuck. You start to look at your ego. You start to look at your resentments. You start to look at everything, your fears, and you face it. This is like being in a fire. And it is a phase of profound purification. It's like wood that is thrown in a fire that has to burn. You are burning. You are burning. You are shedding. You are releasing. It can sometimes feel torturous. It can sometimes feel like a death. It can sometimes feel incredibly scary because everything that you know is now falling apart. But just know that in this profound phase, things have to fall apart in order to fall together. Things and people and situations can fall away and fall apart. Just know, likely it was not truly aligned with you and your highest possibility in the first place. The dark night of the soul is a profound phase. You're burning, you're questioning. It can be very uncomfortable. It can be very painful. It can be very disconcerting because you're seeing things about yourself. You're owning things about yourself. You're loosening the grip that you've had on your own sense of self as a way to control and keep yourself together. It's a deep phase, folks. Most of us are scared of the dark night of the soul, so we keep entertaining ourselves with superficial distractions in life. Let me drink, let me smoke, let me go to parties. And the truth is, so much of life is a circus. The matrix that we live in is designed, has no investment in you knowing who you are, and is designed to distract you. Every week, there's a Super Bowl. Every week, there's a football game. Every week, there's a basketball game. Every week, there's a television show. Then there's Netflix. Then there's 5 million, YouTube videos. Then there's 50,000 new TV shows. Then there's Hulu. Then there's Disney Plus. Then there's Apple this. Then there's that. All of this is designed to just entertain you and keep you distracted from yourself. And many times, we distract ourselves from going through the dark night of the soul. But there is no true, authentic awakening, liberation, and freedom in this game of life unless you go through the fire that is the dark night of the soul. At some point, you will have to face it if you want to mature, if you want to evolve, if you want to be free. You know, what I will say is that different stages of your life, you can go through different dark nights of the soul. Every phase and every identity that you evolve into, at some point you may need to shed in order to continually evolve. And so at every phase, you will have to go through a dark night of the soul to question, to then release and let go and shed and grieve. And so I remember when I was 22, 23 years old, I went through what I realized now was my first dark night of the soul. It was profound, it was scary, it was terrifying. But I've been through a few dark nights of the soul in my life up until this point. And so just know you can go through different dark nights. You might go through a dark night when you're 30. Many times people go through a sort of crisis or dark night around the age of 28 to 31, the Saturn return. Then you might go through a dark night before you turn 40, another dark night in your late 40s as you start realizing, oh shit, I'm not immortal. Oh, I'm halfway through my life. I have less of my life to live than before. And so all of this prompts a questioning. Then, as you make it through stage four, you make it, what will start happening then is you move into the next phase where you're still healing and transforming and shedding and facing, but you start moving into, let's call it a phase of aloneness, aloneness, where maybe you've had this, let me know if you've experienced this, where you just start feeling like being alone. Why is that? Because the version of yourself that engaged with the world is no longer. The version of yourself that engaged with the world is kind of burning to ashes. The version of yourself that used to get off on going out and partying and hanging out with friends and doing certain things, you just don't feel that version of yourself anymore. And as a result, you start wanting to be alone. So this next phase is aloneness. You kind of want to be alone, to be a hermit, to be by yourself. The friends that you used to hang out with, you just don't feel as much in common anymore. You're not better and you're not worse. You just don't feel as much in common anymore. The people that you used to enjoy partying with, you're just not interested in just partying unconsciously anymore. It no longer fulfills your ego. And that version of yourself doesn't get any joy from that anymore. So you start. You'll often feel like pulling back and being alone. The other reason too is you start feeling like being alone because it's in the aloneness that you allow those final parts of you to die so that the new parts of you can be reborn. It's in the aloneness that you can really listen to your truth. It's in the aloneness that you can really connect to your true essence. You can start feeling the embers of the true essence of your being, your true divinity, the spark of the divinity that you've forgotten. It's in the aloneness that you can hear the voice of the divine and allow yourself to feel it and be guided by it. This aloneness is very important, but sometimes it can be challenging. But I promise you, the alone phase will not last forever. Many times people want to jump out of this phase of aloneness. But when you don't allow the phase of aloneness, then you don't allow yourself to cook fully. It's like you put the turkey in the oven, but you don't let the turkey bake. You don't let the turkey grill. The mistake is many people jump out of the oven too quickly and they end up being half baked. Use the aloneness because there will come a time when the cycle shifts. And when the cycle shifts, if you've not fully baked in the aloneness, you won't be truly, truly, truly fully ripened. Ripened to be served to the world, right? So as you come through the full stage of aloneness, you get to really clarify who you are, catch a new vision for your life, catch a new vision for what life is seeking, what the divine is seeking to express through you. You can. In the aloneness, you can listen without the clutter of society and social media and your friends and your parents. You can truly listen to what is real. You catch the vision. Then you can move into the world from a healed place. Then you move into phase. So aloneness is stage five. Stage six, shall we call it, a stage of personal power and empowerment. That's right. You've shed layers of victimhood. Now you are more empowered. You are more aligned. You realize that you are a creator of your life. You are a powerful being that can create, that can impact, that your thoughts, that your feelings, that your words, that your intentions have power in the world to impact And life is a game that you can influence in some way. This is a powerful phase. It's a phase of being empowered, personal power. It's an important stage. The challenge is many people on the spiritual path simply stay here. That's why you see many self-help books and spiritual books speaking from and to this phase. When you stay stuck in this phase, you simply stunt your maturity and development. But it is an important phase to realize, wait a second, I'm not a victim to life. I'm not a victim to what happened to me. I'm not a victim to my parents. I can create my reality. I can manifest in the world. I can take an idea and bring it into action. I'm not a slave to my past. This is stage six. But then you move into a deeper stage. Then you move into the next stage where you realize the limitation of your ego's capacity to manifest and create your life. You move from what do I want to a phase of surrender. In that phase of surrender is powerful. In phase six, you are still the doer. You might be a powerful doer, an amazing doer, but you are still the doer. In this next phase, we'll call stage seven surrender, you start to realize that you are not the doer anymore, that there is a bigger intelligence of life, and you begin surrendering to this bigger intelligence of life. This intelligent universe, the infinite intelligence, the innate intelligence that life is, you start surrendering yourself to that, moving from personal power to soul power, moving from I am the doer to I am not the doer. This is the zone of miracles. All great people, whether it's Jesus, Gandhi, Buddha, whether it's Mother Teresa, whether it's Mandela, whether it's Bruce Lee, Muhammad Ali, they moved into this phase. Where it's not my will, but thy will be done. As I moved into this phase myself, I began to feel as though the deeper I went, the less choice I had, the freer I felt. Because the things that you used to want to do in stage five and below, certain things, you can no longer do them anymore. They no longer work. They no longer align. They no longer work for where you're seeking to go. So stage seven is a surrender where there is a letting go of my life, where you start to see that your life is an expression of the innate intelligence that is life itself. And there is a deep innate desire to be used by life. Your prayer becomes more and more, universe, use me. God, use me. Source, use me. Use me for the highest good. Then lastly, you move into stage eight. And stage eight is, we could say, you return to awakening. You return to the awakened state. You return to the oneness that you are, the light that you are, the awakened consciousness that you are that has always been there, where you start, you know now that you, I, and my Father are one. That you are no longer separate from source energy, that source energy and you are essentially one. And that oneness is profound. When you know that there is no separation, the inherent recognition of your true nature, you also realize that you are not separate from anybody or anything. Then love is what blossoms. Because there's no separation from you or anyone, there's a deeper sense of the inherent oneness of all things. And love becomes a deep reality for you as you enter the world, because I'm not separate from you and you're not separate from me, and there's just one of us here. And that deep realization of that we are the one, that we are the one manifesting in the multiplicity of form. As me, as you, as all. You start feeling a profound sense of love in your heart as you meet with people, that there are no competition, there are no enemies, there's just source. Source manifesting as everything and everyone. And not just everything and everyone, but everything, everyone, and all things. That even the world, essentially, everything is God. Nothing is not God. And even the world that you see, the physical manifestation, is the infinite creativity of the mind of the divine. And so when you love others, you start realizing there are no others. But when you start loving others, you're loving yourself. And when you love the world and you love nature, you're loving the divine, because you're loving the, because the world is an expression of the mind, the creativity of source energy. So that eighth stage is you move into a deep sense of oneness, no separation, oneness. And so these are a few stages. I'd love for you to reflect on today's conversation, today's podcast episode. I'd love for you to share this episode with anyone in your life that you love. And I'd like for you to just reflect on where you're at in your evolution. Where are you at in your spiritual evolution, and which stage are you at on your spiritual path? And I'd like for you to take a moment to be honest about what is it that is keeping you stuck from growing to that next level. Have an honest moment of confession with yourself, because it's honesty, it's the truth that will set you free. Folks, I hope you enjoyed today's short episode of Soul Talk. Share this with everybody in your life that you feel would benefit. Be sure, please, to write a review on iTunes. And I will catch you in next week's episode of Soul Talk. Love now. Blessings. If you've enjoyed this episode of Soul Talk, please do share the podcast with all of your friends. Let everyone know, and make sure you download Soul Talk today. I'm looking forward to next week, where I'll get to share more inspiration with you. Meanwhile, follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or social media. You can find out more about my work at www.cooplaxon.com. If you feel ready to take your life to the next level, join me at my exclusive event in Bali, www.boundlessblissbali.com, where you can find out more and apply. Also, make sure to remember to download my free 2-part video training series and learn the ultimate secrets to happiness and fulfillment at cooplaxon.com. Sending you all big hugs and love now.